Today on Real Radio.
We are to prioritize our efforts in these times of crises. We're to be flexible. Listen, there are advantages and disadvantages to being single, just as there are advantages and disadvantages to being married. Know your place and seek God regarding what He would have you to do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the letter of 1 Corinthians written by the Apostle Paul. In chapter 7, the apostle addresses the various marriage situations among believers, married, unmarried, widowed. As well, Paul takes a look at the advantages and disadvantages of all these situations. Now, in this section we're looking at today, he gets more specific on how our Lord uses the believer who is unmarried. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Wise Relationships for the Last Days.
Grab your Bibles, grab your helmets, and grab your boots. And put them on as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we have been for weeks now going through a chapter of the Bible. In fact, for the last two chapters, Paul has been speaking about our religious or spiritual and moral conduct. And we're not getting away from that, no matter what our cultural or religious upbringing might be. Again, you can be an absolute atheist. There is a morality that you have. You don't know this yet, but God has stamped that into you. You know down deep inside by how you conduct your life itself that it's not some accident. The truth is that God's fingerprints are on your life, though you may deny His existence. But for those of us in this house this morning, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we understand that the Bible that I'm holding does not contain the Word of God, that it is the Word of God. It doesn't contain parts of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible says of itself, it is the Word of God. And God, who is eternal, God, who is all-powerful, has been well able and shall always be well able to maintain and preserve His Word. That's why this Bible, after thousands of years, is still the plumb line, bulwark of our humanity, the Bible. People want to make fun of it, but they do so without education, because God's Word is without fault, it's without error, and the more we follow it, the more we come to the realization that God knows what He's talking about. And so as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 now, verse 10, we look at a message entitled, Wise Relationships for the Last Days. Mark it down, would you? Because why? Number one, we're living in the last days, the Bible says. Number two, we all want to be wise about relationships. By the way, I'm excited about this. God is so good to underline our title, Wise Relationships for the Last Days. I didn't realize how last of the last days it was until, wasn't yesterday the end of the world? By the way, I understand they haven't heard from that false prophet. They haven't found him or heard from him. At least that's what I've heard so far. Well, maybe the end of the world did come to him yesterday, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, the end of the world was supposed to happen yesterday at the word of a false prophet, and it was all in the news, ABC, Fox News. They're all talking about, listen, those crazy people who believe Jesus is going to come back. Well, wait a minute. I'm one of those crazy people. But Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. But Jesus did say that we're living in the last days. The last days is in God's timing. With the advent of the church 2,000 years ago, they would be the days that would culminate while the church was existing. And the church is existing. You and I live in an amazing time. By the way, for the first time in world history, the church and Israel exist at the same time. That is a prophetic wake-up call to these days. But because of that, it's bred a lot of false prophets and crazies. Read your Bible and know what the truth is. And what you want to be doing is living a life wise regarding your relationships. Before we get into this, I want to just give you this introduction. The Apostle Paul had already discussed sexual conduct prior to marriage. He talked about the grounds for divorce, biblically. He talked about the foundation of marriage, that it's spiritual. And he talked about those who qualify according to God's mandate on marriage, who could remarry again or stay single based upon God's definition of marriage. And so now today he comes and speaks to us. Listen to this. Powerful message, sometimes hard to understand, deep nonetheless, about being single. And in our culture, and quite frankly, historically, in the cultures of the West, being single is often viewed as some sort of a discredit, that being single is some sort of weakness, that being single is some sort of problem. In reality, it is not. And our culture is often guilty. In fact, for that matter, the church historically has been guilty of causing single people to feel somewhat subterranean regarding their existence. And the exact opposite, as we'll see today, should be the view of the church and Christians. It's very encouraging. All this comes together because if you're taking notes, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Paul said this, "Now concerning things which you wrote to me." Chapter 7 is all about a letter that Paul received from the Corinthians as he wrote, or they wrote to him at the time he was in Rome. And they asked questions, and we get the benefit from reading their mail this morning. And so we want to look at it. By the way, as we dive into this, the Bible tells us in Psalm 111, verse 10, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." So we want to be wise about the last days. I'm going to give you verse 25 because it has the foundation set up for the study this morning. Look at verse 25. It says, "Now concerning virgins," these are unmarried maidens, they're believers, and they have not been married in Corinth. Paul says, "I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy." Circle verse 25 because it sets his argument. Verse 25 says, "I am an apostle called by the Lord." And what it means is Jesus didn't speak while on earth regarding this specific topic. However, Paul says, "I'm invoking my apostolic calling, whom the Lord has gifted me with, and with that authority, I'm speaking to you now, Corinthians." Or, "I'm speaking to you now, Californians," is what he's saying. And so here you go, mark it down. In verses 26 to 35, wise relationships for the last days is this, that we're to be wise with what you have. Being wise with what you have, verses 26 to 35, follow along with me. Verse 26, "I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distresses," circle that, "that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh. But I would spare you." Verse 29. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." By the way, if you draw a line between the present distress and verse 29, the time is short, those two statements are a time stamp about the end days and difficulty. He says, "So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they did not have any. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess." Verse 31, "And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away." That's our third end time stamp of time right there. Verse 32, "But I want you to be without care." The word in Greek is, "I want you to be without anxiety. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he might please the Lord." If you're single right now, you ought to underline that because that's what God would have for your life. You want a blessed life? Verse 32 applies to you wonderfully. You ought to make that the verse of your life until God brings you a wife or a husband, if he does at all. "But he who is married cares about the things of the world." It doesn't mean he's carnal. It means he has to care about the things that make up a household. "How he may please his wife." There is a difference between a wife and a virgin, a married woman and a single woman. "The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she might please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. So here we go, being wise with what you have. Mark it down, number one, it's pretty exciting. And I want you to grab this. Verses 26 to 28, we learn this, that liberty, as a single person, we are to prioritize our efforts with God. Are you single this morning? Any single people in here this morning? Raise your hand. You're single. Okay, listen. Number one thing, you have liberty that I don't have. How many of you are married this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, wow. Okay, listen. You few singles ought to get together. You ought to have a little barbecue or something, huh? Why? And I mean that seriously. Why? That we might find a mate? No, not necessarily. That you might begin to learn how through Jesus Christ to celebrate and use your singleness to the glory of God. Stop whining and complaining, oh, I'm single. Now, granted, the church often puts that yoke on you. Are you? Oh, you're single? What are you? You're 42 and you're single? That is wrong. That's not right. God calls some people to singleness, and the church rarely identifies that. Listen, rarely do singles identify that. And forever they walk around with a big monkey on their back, as it were, that they're some sort of sub-Christian because they're not married. Listen to me. Everybody listening? The Christians in this church and every church around the world that are single, according to this portion of Scripture, should be so spirit-filled, so excited, so dynamic for Jesus that they are leading the church with energy and investment and vision for what the church should be doing next. Why? Because you've got more time to spend with Jesus. Okay, I've got to mow the lawn. I've got to help my wife. I've got to help her unload the groceries. I've got to do the windows. I wouldn't normally do the windows unless Lisa says, do the windows. I'm married. I must be concerned of the things of the world. Listen, a single Christian? Oh my goodness, you guys should be like tornadoes going around. The married people should be saying, man, you guys go. That's awesome. Well, we need to listen to me. Oh, you're not going to like me, singles, for what I'm about to say. Hear me out. We just need a dynamic singles ministry. No, we don't. Here's the reason why. Single ministries often just fuel and feed the woe is me group. And they often think that, well, I'll go to the singles ministry to find a mate so I don't have to go to the singles minister anymore. No. The singles of the church should be a ministry. They should be leading the way. And I want to encourage you this morning. Those of you who raised your hands and you're single, I'm telling you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you get a vision from God. Stop, get on your knees, pray, let God speak. And I got to tell you that the greatest ministry that you can do regarding singles in the body of Christ is get a vision for what God wants to do, and people will follow you in that thing. Amen. It's a very important thing. Listen, liberty. There's a prioritizing to do regarding your efforts. He says in verse 26 that it's a present distress. Paul says, listen, I think it's good that at a time like this, that for those of you who are called to be single, to celebrate your singleness, because why? Mark it down, people. There is a present distress. The word in Greek is powerful, and only the Greek or Hebrew language can do this. The word present distress means an age of increasing crises. Paul says, as a believer, and you look around the world, be focused on Jesus, the more and more you see the age and the crises that surround that age. The word is pregnant with meaning because it means an immediate crisis that's dealing with the church at Corinth then, but it goes beyond that, and it goes all the way out to the end of the church age, some 2,000 years later. Are you with me on that? Isn't God's word awesome? Because immediately, just that time statement of distress includes every believer in this house this morning. What a great word that is. Are you single? Yes. Are you living in a time of crisis or distress? Yes. Is it increasing? Yes. So how should I be living? Well, you live your life, Christian, prioritized by the efforts that you have before God. What does that mean? Stop spending your energy, your money, your time, single Christian, on things that don't matter. You're bound for eternity. You're going to heaven with the rest of us. And you ought to lead the way. Go for it. You can do it. It's an exciting time to be single for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this distress, people, we all, by the way, we've all had this in our hearts. When you think about, you know, should we do this or should we do that? Well, you know, it's kind of like, looks like it's crazy times. Maybe we should. And you think and pray about it. Some people would say today, well, you know, that false prophet the other day said the world's coming to an end. Maybe we should call off our wedding. No. You get your marching orders from the Lord. But if God is calling you to be single, listen, understand this. That we're living in troubling times. By the way, this is written in 56 AD. The only gospel that was in circulation prior to 1 Corinthians was the gospel of Mark. Matthew, Luke, and John had not been written yet. You see, why do you bring that up? Because if this was written in 56 AD, and it was, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem had not yet happened. That was in 70 AD. Time of distress was increasing in their day. And so Paul is saying right here that we need to take full advantage. And there's an honest question being asked. What do we do about being single in these last days, Paul, living here in Corinth? And Paul would say, count the cost before you get married. Count the cost. Don't rush into it. Know what God is telling you about marriage. And until he tells you to get married and shows you that this is the one, live boldly with your singleness by the power, by the grace of God. Ephesians 5:15 says, so be careful how you live. This is for married and single person alike. Not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. What a great verse, huh? What a great verse. Liberty, we are to prioritize our efforts in these times of crises. We're to be flexible. Listen, there are advantages and disadvantages to being single, just as there are advantages and disadvantages to being married. Know your place and seek God regarding what he would have you to do. Hopefully, some of these things will be answered this morning. Advantages to being single, Paul is arguing for that. There's the ability for you who are single to be very flexible. That's a wonderful thing. You can adapt quickly to change. Single people can. You can respond to sudden issues, blessings, or catastrophes. In my opinion, when Haiti or Japan was struck by those disasters, it's much easier for a single person to take up roots and go help Japan or Haiti. Think about that. But there's a lot of people today, listen, who are single, but they're anchored down as though they were married. They may be anchored to debt, or they may be anchored to, I don't know. I'm not saying cast off restraint. I'm saying be wise and use your singleness to the glory of God. Matthew 6:31, all of us should know this, but if you're single today, commit this to memory. Therefore, do not worry. Don't be anxious. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things do the unbelievers or Gentiles seek for. But your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's your marching orders for all of us, especially the single person today. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own stuff, its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What does that word mean? Exactly what Paul said. Every day has trouble. You've got troubles, I've got troubles, all God's children got troubles. But God's on the throne. Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts, even the single people this morning. You should not be led about by every wind of doctrine, every hype or every thing that's hip or going on. Oh, look, this book says this and this guy said that and this thing. No. You've got the opportunity to be more disciplined and more committed than ever, serving, being used for the glory of God. It's awesome. It's exciting. Seek first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, listen to this counsel, 2 Timothy 3:1. The Bible says, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. We're living in those days. These times will test us, you and I. Our faith will be tested. Our resolve as Christians. By the way, it's all of God's plan. Our doctrine will be tested. Listen, Christian, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. What you believe is called doctrine. And what you should believe is Bible doctrine, not Calvary Chapel doctrine, not Lutheran doctrine, not Catholic doctrine, not Assembly of God doctrine, Bible doctrine. The word doctrine is teachings. Know what the Bible says. Don't go around quoting your church. And whatever you do, don't go around quoting me or your priest or wherever you've come from or Billy Graham or the Pope. That has no power. You quote the Bible. When somebody asks you a question or if you have an opinion on something, you say, the Bible says, and I got to tell you, it's a lot of fun because as soon as you say, the Bible says, it immediately puts your opponent or the critic, not at odds with you, but at odds with the God in whom they're at odds with. This is very important. Am I yelling? I'm excited about this. This is liberating. To be single, you're liberated and you've been granted the opportunity to prioritize your efforts for the glory of God. We're being confronted in this age with spiritual attacks. And it's time to pray. Personally, I don't want to lay a yoke on you. That is unnecessary, but I think this is applicable. Those of you who are single, you should put us to shame when it comes to prayer meetings. I believe all singles ought to be involved in prayer meetings. Why? Because they can get to them most often. They don't have to tuck the kids into bed or get them out of bed or get to a prayer meeting. Missions. Our mission outreach program should be predominantly single people going on the short-term mission field. 2-week trips with us to any part of the world. Think of that. I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying to give you encouragement to sit there today and say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to listen to people anymore. I'm going to get up and I'm going to listen to the Word of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Now, this is where the Apostle Paul gets a little more specific on how our Lord uses the believer who is unmarried. The title of this study, Wise Relationships for the Last Days. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we've been telling you about our brand new television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, the guy sitting across the table from me right now is pretty enthusiastic about it himself. Pastor Jack?
Davey, that's exactly right. We're very excited about Real Life, and it's kind of something that has fallen into our laps. We were not really looking to do this, but there are some sweet people that approached us, and we have since come up with Real Life. This program is something that we all love here because it has given us the opportunity to bring to the surface things that are not normally discussed either in a sermon or in a church setting. It really has to deal with the very title of the program, Real Life. And we're going to be covering issues that all of us have to deal with. We've had a great lineup of people that we've interviewed. We've put some things together that I think are going to help people develop their Christian or biblical worldview. All of that really for a mission, and it's really this mission, this is kind of our statement, that it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. And so because of that, the program is named exactly that. It's our desire, it's our passion, it's our commitment. And so I hope you like the program. Let us know what you think. Contact us and pray for us as we venture out into this area.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs Monday nights, 7 p.m. West Coast time on hischannel.com. Just click Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.